Yes, you didn't stay for that. But it's fine because you know when Tony Stark fell from the black hole all the way down to Earth, captured by Hulk, and he was on his back, and then he was like, oh, he's not breathing, he's not alive. And then Hulk was like, rawr. He came back, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, we got to go do this. And he's like, well, can't we go eat shawarma after? And he was like, well, we got to go do this. And it's like, well, then after that, let's go do shawarma. And then, you know, so that's what he's saying. And then that's what they did at the very end. It's like, they literally sat at a table eating shawarma and did not say a word. And so we just sat there and watched.
That
Yeah.
I am not a nerd. Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to the third episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
We hate you. We hate you all for making us do this, frankly. It's wrong. I don't know why we keep subjecting ourselves to this, but please, please.
No, it's a service, Carl. You're supposed to serve our community with glee and joy.
Ugly.
We watch these movies so other people don't have to.
Oh, God.
Okay. And so that's why we have to. You acting like you don't watch these movies on your own. Like,
No, no,
yes,
no,
you.
no. There
Yes.
were some of these films that I had tried to avoid all year, and somebody kept insisting, oh, you gotta watch it. You gotta see this one.
No,
And,
because you always get with your remote late at night and you go through the not the pay-per-view, but yeah, I think it is pay-per-view or whatever they have on cable. You'd be like, ooh, this had a spaceship in it. Let me watch it. So you'd be watching these films anyway. Curiosity says the same person who watched a Battleship ripoff for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Hey, that had some good stuff.
No. No,
There
the
was some
song
Van
stuff.
Peebles. There was Van Peebles in that. I had to see it. But all right, please stay on
Yeah,
top now.
yeah.
Totally, totally.
Whatever. So this year, I think this is our fourth year doing this, Carl.
Seems like nine. It seems like the ninth year. Let's just do this. Let's do this.
So this is our tradition. At the end of the year, we watch all of the movies. We've missed some because there was just so many good movies to see, so many promised of good movies that turned out to be mediocre and some flat out turds. We are going to start with some of them that were just flat out bad, but we're going to start with the poll from the scifipartyline.com website, which you guys participated in. And Carl, do you want to do the honors of
Yes, I will happily read the turds, the fan turds, and
Yes.
I'll start. Let's see, with the lowest percentage. In other words, 7%. I'll run through these real quick. 7% said The Hunger Games. 7% said Iron Sky.
I think that was probably Stephanie because she thought that this was her turn for the
I'm not even going to go there. 7% said Prometheus
Wow.
was
It's crazy.
okay. 14% said Judge Dredd in 3D.
Oh, okay.
29% said Underworld Awakening. Oops. Yes, another 29% said The Watch was the worst.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a sci-fi comedy.
Another 29% said Total Recall was. A whopping 36% said Battleship. I know. I mean, really, guys, really. You telling me Underworld was not as bad as Battleship? Anyway, and the winner with 43% of the posted votes on our website was Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance was the winner of the turd of it. Now, so look, we got some discussion, people, because clearly, you all did what we did, and that was carefully avoided the real turds of the year. All right, you guys, you picked the nice blockbusters, you talked about these guys. These are cute, but y'all ain't picked the real dogs here. All right, I'm telling you, we know what the dogs are.
Oh,
So we will simply say we appreciate your participation. We joyed looking at the votes that you had posted. But y'all missed it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all don't know.
Y'all don't know what that is.
We're going to tell you what the dogs were.
Okay. So I missed Ghost Rider and Underworld, but Carl, you've seen those.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And I don't know why. Okay. I do kind of like Nicolas Cage. That's probably the reason. Because you said, you know, I watch these things. And for the most part, I had done a good job of avoiding really bad movies this year. Really bad movie. So, you know, I'm not sure how I stumbled upon this. It was probably, I think it was on cable, you know, and it just came. Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. The problem with this movie is it was just all over the place. I mean, everything that you really liked about the original Ghost Rider, which was campy to start with now. So the last one had a certain camp factor to it, but it was almost, you know, it was almost kind of, you know, Evil Dead, kind of silly. Oh. You know, it was heading that way. You know, please, and I don't want to hear you hate mail. I know it was not as good as that, you know, that series. But it was almost, you know, that kind of campy fun. Cage was great, and what's her name that was looking crazy hot in that white outfit? It was just great.
I know Idris Elba was in this, so that's all I'm really concerned about. How was his performance?
Oh, geez. Well, you know what happened to him in the films. I don't even have to go into it.
Oh, because he's dark-skinned. He died.
I'm not even going to have to go into it. Everybody knows what happened. But see, it was just the acting was not great. It was poorly constructed in terms of, you know, the villain and the kid he was trying to save in the story and how all these pieces were supposed to fit together. It didn't hang well. It just kind of felt like pieces randomly thrown at you, and the acting, even for a Cage film, not good. Because look, you know, there is an expected hamminess to Nick Cage that fans of Nick Cage like. We like that sort of over the top craziness that he does, and we go to the movie, we expect that. It seemed like he was doing a parody of him in this film. So yeah, it was just
How's his hair? Because you know he has hair issues.
Yeah, well, I'm not, you know, one to talk about receding hairlines, but his hairline was moving around as usual in this film. It was moving around. So, but see, that's normal. Again, something you expect in a Cage film. So I'm down with that. But it was just a mess. So yeah, Spirit of Vengeance, you can really, really pass on that one. I really did not even find anything enjoyable about its badness, which is why, you know, Kat and I have not chosen it. She didn't see it. Why I haven't chosen it for the ultimate turd is because the ultimate turd's got to inspire something in you. You know, you got to feel a turd, you know, when it comes out. And I'm sorry, Ghost Rider, it was not good, but I was not I was not moved. So there you
wasn't
go.
Reaching for the Charmin, huh?
Nah.
Nope. Okay, so Underworld, that is another one that people kind of disliked.
Yeah, oh boy. Again, see, the problem is it just felt so generic and bland, and it was like the watered down pieces of all of the other Underworld films together. Oh, well, excuse me, except the one with the swords. Thankfully, that crew didn't come back again. But it had the tiredness of the Matrix ripoff of the original, you know, sets of Underworld, but even less inspired. It was just like they were phoning it in the whole movie. So, I mean, again, I did not pick it as my top turd because it didn't inspire anything. It really felt just like the blandest of all of the other ones. I was not outwardly offended by anything. It, you know, hurt to watch. It just, nothing really happened in it. That's probably the word. There are characters in there. You're like, why was that dude even in the film? What was that all about? You know, all he did was look plaintive for three quarters of the film. So, yeah, Underworld, Awakening. Mm-hmm. I was not.
Okay, so I don't know, maybe the Ghost Rider and things like Underworld got the most votes because these are the movies that people actually went out and saw and they just hadn't seen the other The other ones.
Best possible. They were smart enough to avoid the ones that we are going to talk about.
Okay, so this is going to be controversial. One of your turds, I guess it could be gas at this point. Looper.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Yes. Yeah. Not a fan. Yeah. Not a fan. We talked about it in the previous podcast, and I still don't quite get folks' love for Looper. I'm not buying it. No. No. Because and everybody that I went with was kind of like, what? When it was over, just again. I like for the pieces of the movie to make sense. If you're going to put it in there, it's got to complement the story.
This one in a bad mood. This one was pretty. It was decent. I like this one. I think.
It was just a film.
I mean,
it was a film. There's no argument about that.
God. I mean, it was not Inception, and it was not like 12 Monkeys, but
no.
It's something that.
It was not like any of those films.
Quiet.
Other than Bruce Willis getting out of like a dryer. That was pretty much a lot like 12 Monkeys.
I don't know. I just enjoyed this film, and I don't get your hate, and I don't get why you don't like it more, but you know, you're entitled to your opinion. You're wrong a lot, but
what kind of genre was this? Was it sci-fi?
Time traveling. So.
Barely.
I
stand by my claim. Bill and Ted's did a far better job of utilizing space-time continuums and looping. Bill and Ted's is the best example of time looping use in a sci-fi movie. Period. I'm sorry. I said better than Back to the Future. Still, they're the winners. Yes, I will. I will challenge anyone to say otherwise.
Oh my God! You know, and that's at Robo Minister on Twitter.
Yes, yeah. I'm telling you, we need a trash can. You didn't see Marty McFly doing it. I'm telling you.
So that just at Robo Minister. Okay, so the and now we're gonna start agreeing on some of them. These aren't actual turds, but what we've mentioned so far. But they're runner-ups. We're runners up.
Runners up for the
runners up. Okay, so the next one is Dread 3D.
Man, I hated that film. That's mine on this list. Y'all wanted it. That's mine. That was just again, if you're gonna put that much money into a film, show me something I haven't seen before. And you know, other than that, visually it was impressive. I will give you that.
It was
impressive. So, you know, they did some very pretty things with light and camera usage and speed and slow-mo. And, you know, that was great. I enjoyed that part. But it was overrun by just the bad acting and the uninspired villain and the scenes that we'd seen before. It was just, oh, no. So, yeah, I really was not a fan of Dredd. I was so disappointed. So disappointed.
Yeah, I wasn't angry about it. I liked it a little bit more, but I thought it was a little boring. Oh. I, of course, went on record saying I liked the Judge Dredd film better than this one, mainly because it has the campy 80s thing. I know I'm going to take some...
I like that one better than this one. So
damn. That's saying a lot.
I agree.
So... This one, you know, I have a problem with Carl Urban for whatever reason. I just not feeling him. He just feels like plain toast.
I don't have a problem with him, but in this movie, I mean, look, leaving the helmet on, I think, again, to purists, that's supposed to mean something. That's supposed to be significant.
It is, and then if that's the way it goes in the comic book, I agree with that. He should have left it on.
That's however, you got to have an actor under that that's going to bring something out, you know, that's going to really make you feel either intimidated or, inspired
his performance was spot on. And I guess concert with the Dredd from the comic book. So he was actually doing his job. Crawler. I don't know if I'd see a second one.
No.
Yeah. And so one of my most disappointing mainstream films this year was Total Recall. Okay. Yeah. Carl didn't see that in the theaters. He watched that after the fact. And, you know, I actually haven't heard your opinion on that, so...
Total Recall... I thought it was all right. That really, again, that's why it doesn't really qualify as one of my turds, because it was okay. The full chase of it was okay. But when you think about the original Total Recall, even though it had the campy, you know, 80s special effects, or late, well, 90s special effects, but special effects and Arnold Schwarzenegger's spectacular acting ability, you know, even though it had all of that going on with it, it everything about it really did feel new. I mean, the stuff
it was charming. It was charming. It was funny.
It was unlike anything that you had seen before. And so I love novelty. You know, it's supposed to be sci-fi. I keep saying this. You have the entire universe, parallel universes to play with. Don't bring me the same thing again and again and again. So even, you know, Total Recall is not my favorite movie, the original, but at least it was fun and unique and weird and nutty and all that kind of. So this one.
They did not go to Mars, which pissed me off. Yeah. And can you talk to us and the listeners about the science of us traveling through the core of the Earth on a daily basis?
Oh, I just, you know, sometimes you just black out certain parts. You know, you're just like,
that bothered me.
Your brain just stops working and, you know, you just let something go.
I was really annoyed by that, like, we didn't go to Mars for that. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, oh, yes. It's the metro. You just drops back and forth from Australia to the UK through the planet.
Yeah, but
Earth.
Don't the core of the Earth not responsible for our gravity? And if they did that, like, I mean, maybe the constant back and forth motion of the transport through the whole of the Earth could quite possibly... No.
I don't think it's going to affect Earth's gravity or anything. But, you know, that whole core of spinning, high-velocity, liquid iron, you know, I don't think that you're going to be able to put a channel through that. I'm just sorry. I don't think that kind of technology is going to work. So, yeah, I just let that go, really. I just, like, forget it. Forget it.
No, because it bothers me, just like when people bring planets into Earth's orbit.
Here we go. You know
that's my pet peeve.
Here we go.
So the people, like, dig to the core of the Earth, or, you know...
Well, they bored through. They bored through the core of the Earth, really.
Yeah, but it's like a constant transport going from one end, like, from, you know, one end to the other on a daily basis with no heat. There's no... What type of metal is that? Where do they get that from? Is it, what, palladium?
It's unobtainium.
Thank you. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Uh-huh. Thanks.
Right. Mm. Unfortunately, it wouldn't have been affected by gravity, so it probably wouldn't have.
Stop it. It angered me.
Look, if you let the dead man switch go I'm not saying I let that go.
It irritated me. That was like the least irritation in that entire film, so... But this... But they didn't go to Mars, and I don't understand why they didn't go to Mars, because I read the short story. They went to Mars in the short story. Yeah, they did it. There's no reason and no excuse for them to not have gone to Mars.
No. It's like they wanted to just hang out in the, the Blade Runner / Minority Report world, and that's where they shot the whole thing. See, I mean, and that's the problem. If you can summarize the entire look of the film in two films, I mean, it looks just like those two films. You know, of course, okay, with a dash of iRobot. You throw in some iRobot, and there you go. That's not...
Did you watch the Total Recall TV show?
No. Yeah. Or if I did, I think I blocked that out as well. Because now that you mentioned it, I'm starting to get that, like, static pop where, you know, something's like, oh, wait,
I watched the TV show, and the movie kind of reflected the TV show a little bit. So it looked like the TV show, which I enjoyed, but the thing going through the Earth's core with, like, I don't know. So I saw Total Recall and it kind of sparked my imagination the first time around, and I really loved it. And I just thought it was a fun, goofy film. And this did not have any of that. It was like so super serious. I didn't understand the motivation of Beckinsale's character and why she was still alive, hanging out for so long, going after what's his face. And it just felt like a missed opportunity. So for me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Her character was very underdeveloped in terms of we're trying to figure out was she like his real girlfriend? I mean, we kind of figure out, yeah, you know, they ran, they were freedom fighters together, but we're trying to figure out was it more than that or what? Whatever. Yeah.
It was clear in the first movie how that worked, and it wasn't. And then, like, it wasn't even a dream, or you didn't have any question about what was reality or what was not at the end of the film, like you did in the first one, because you don't know if it was recall, and they were going to kiss, and he was going to wake up. They kind of ended the movie right before you could kind of know, you knew for sure if he was still in the simulation or if it was actually real.
And
And I.
with a film like this being a not a but a remake, that's a double death kiss because you know half the fun of the first one was the long lingering question, is this real? Is it not? Is it real? Is it not? And then when they make a remake of it and you already know, you know, how things sort of went in the first one and then they just let it just sort of limply fall at the end of this one, it was just really, it was like, oh God, you guys really screwing this up.
It was a total missed opportunity. I don't understand what happened. So for me, out of the popular films, that has to be the turd one, like the bowels are quivering right now.
Well, the only reason, you know, it's not so bad for me is because the acting was halfway decent, the casting was pretty good, the effects were
They were
solid.
phenomenal. Yeah, they were phenomenal.
You know, the effect was really solid. I mean, granted, they didn't go anywhere, but at least they
No.
created a believable rehash of the future world that we had seen in three other films. So, you know, all of that looked just like it did in the other one. So it really could have been just down the street from Minority Report, down, you know, about 5 years after Blade Runner, and, you know, a couple of years after iRobot.
Yeah, maybe like on
So,
the other side of the planet from like Serenity or
there you
something.
go.
But
There you see, there you go.
it's yeah. So I thought it looked good. Set design was nice, you know. So I appreciated that, and I like the guy who starred in the film whose name I can't recall at this
Colin
point.
Farrell.
Thank you, jeez. So I was so pumped up about him for Fright Night that I was just really excited to see him in Total Recall, and now I hate him again. I fell in love with him, and then now I'm just like, dude, don't talk to me.
Oh,
Don't talk to
harsh.
me. I don't want to look at you. Just get your stuff and get out of my apartment. Just go.
Total
Right?
Recall. Total Recall was forgettable.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sounds like I'm a little angry at that one. I think my blood pressure went up a little bit there just now. So, but believe it or not, there are worse films. Worse films. So now, are you ready for the turds now? Huh?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this.
Well, my mama said, son, if there's one thing that I said that you heard is that you can't polish a turd. You can't polish a turd.
So, we have to make an announcement. Carl has finally made a commitment to me. And guess what? He watched
I hate you all.
Lockout.
Really. You know, I had done a good job of avoiding it. Okay, see, here's the thing. Because you remember how this began, right?
With me begging you at the beginning.
No, no, no. When I told you I saw it for the first time, here is when I knew Lockout was going to suck. All right? I mean, I saw the preview. You know, I was in the theater, and the preview for Lockout came on. And I actually thought that the Lockout preview was one of those fake turn your cell phone ads off, you know, because I'm sitting here going, I'm watching it, okay, you know, and it, boom, boom, in the future, a cop from the bad side of the tracks. Yeah, okay, I've seen this before. the only man on Earth, okay, yeah, who can save... Wait, hang on. There's an orbiting prison. Okay, this is getting... in space with the world's worst prisoners. Okay, yeah, that's just... Okay. The president's daughter goes to visit. Oh, wait a minute now. And then we have to send the guy from the bad side of the tracks to save the president's daughter. And she's a robot. Wait a minute. This is starting to become a little hard to believe. You know, I mean, it's just, they just kept adding more and more crap happening. So I really was waiting for the bling, ding, ding. Don't forget to turn your cell phone on. I really thought it was a gag. So... And then people in the theater, they did not react. I mean, their reaction was very similar to mine, where it was like, wait, this is a real film? You could see the heads turning. When, you know, like the credits came out, Luke was, we were in shock. How you can go from the Fifth Element, people, the Fifth Element, to this? I just, that was when I said, Kat, this is, I'm not going to watch. Oh, Carl, you should see. I'm not watching this. No. So I had decided I was not. You hear me? Not, because it was so obvious that it was going to be a bad film.
My face is hurting. I'm laughing so hard.
It was so obvious that Lockout was going to suck. That, you know, I was avoiding it. I said, nope, I'm not going to watch it. Nope. Mm-mm. And Kat kept trying to push it, tried to shovel it right under there. And as the end of the year wore on, and I saw that people were not settling on real turds. I'm sorry, y'all were just, you know, wussing out in terms of the turdage here, all right? The movies you picked, they were cute. But no, this is what qualifies as a real turd of a film. So yes, the top two turd film of the of our 2012, Lockout is the first of the two. Discuss.
Okay, so Lockout. I want to see this mainly because I thought, how bad can it be?
What is wrong with you? Why would you even ask a question like that?
I wanted to know, like, exactly why would somebody get money to make a terrible film like that? That you can't do that today. You can't go around wasting money on things like this. So there had to be something in it. And I thought maybe it would be like a little bit of a sleeper surprise, like Pandorum. You remember that one?
Of course. It was basically like all the sets from Pandorum. Yes, of course.
I thought maybe it was going to be maybe like... We were going to get some skyline, but maybe we're going to get some impressive aliens or ships or the prison or something like that. I thought it can't quite possibly in 2012 be that bad. Man. Woo.
It was horrible. It was. The problem is, well, okay, there were multiple levels, but just let's start with the dialogue, shall we?
Oh, man. See... I love different countries and cultures and races and stuff.
You're an international girl. It's true. You're worldly.
I really love people and their differences. However, there's a thing when someone who's not American tries to do an American accent, they're trying so hard on the accent that the acting suffers.
Okay, now listen. Now listen, I will.
Some of them, not all of.
No, I will agree with what you were saying, but let me raise you something because that is what was going on in this film. I agree, but you see, trying to do the American accent, I can even sort of grit my teeth and get through that, as long as the dialogue is not hackneyed, cliched, one-liners, one right after the other. I have never seen. Chained together, just rehashed action film dialogues. I mean, I really expect Guy to turn to the camera at one phase and go, catchphrase. You know, it was everything that we had seen before. It was so badly done. It was so, it's not just because, you know, Guy could act. We've seen him in other things. Yeah. So it's not that he wasn't doing, you know, an American accent effectively. It was he had nothing. Nothing to work with in terms of dialogue. It was unbelievable when I was watching this.
This was a French film. And it felt like it was a European interpretation of what a bad sci-fi film should be like.
Like and a bad 90s action sci-fi film.
Right, it was and like that. It was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, but they didn't quite get there or something.
No.
And it had the problem that Stephanie had with Iron Sky, which I didn't have a problem with, but this is like the really terrible way of trying. I don't know what they were doing here.
I agree with you in terms of that. See, it's like they were trying to, okay, so if you're going to do like a 80s, 90s action film, that one of the most charming or the most interesting or the most watchable thing about those films is your lead character and his kind of fun, silly one-liners. Schwarzenegger could do it. Willis could do it. You know, you got these action heroes that when they toss off these spontaneous lines, you know, they are endearing. You feel like you can connect with the character. You're going, oh, you know, that's what I'd be saying if I was in that situation. And so, first of all, it's kind of, there are a lot of American references that when you do stuff like, even John Crichton is another example in Farscape.
Mm-hmm.
When you're tossing off these lines, it's got to be embedded in, you know, mostly the American culture to start with. And if you do that, you know, it's also got to be sort of a genuinely funny, spontaneous flow. It's got to have a kind of riff to it.
Yeah, a delivery.
A delivery to it. This stuff was so bad. I mean, it was telegraphing where everything was going to go in the whole, everybody that came in. Yeah, he's a bad guy. That's a double agent. Oh, yeah, that's going to be the villain. Oh, that's the real villain. Okay, everything was so telegraphed that literally, like in the first 5 minutes, you knew where the whole film was going to go. So it was just so bad. Oh, and so, okay, so now I'm going to give you, I agree, in terms of, you know, the acting and the dialogue. And so just about the time that I was starting to tolerate the one-liner, the hackneyed one-liners, the forced pseudo-American accent, you know, I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing. This is killing me. This is killing me. Then they throw in a line like this. So you think you're more mouth than trousers? More mouth than trousers? Now, I'm trying to... I'm sitting here going, when you got... And that was the girl that said that, all right? She said that line because he was switching up at that point.
What does that mean?
Yeah, well, you know, you're supposed to be cool if you're saying stuff like this. You know, if you're going to try to fire off one-liners, it at least have to be. So if that had gone by, I'm trying to figure out, okay, so if you're going to make a film like this and you know you're going to try to release it in the U.S., seem like you ought to have, like, one guy on the set. Seriously, he's like from New York, you know, he could be from California or something, that sits in the background, that listens to the dialogue and goes, oh no, that ain't gonna fly. If the guy that is your American consultant's name is Sven, and Sven is going, yes, mouth and trousers, go with that. You know, speak down. Sven, you gotta find somebody. Because how hard could it be? You could go to anybody in the U.S. and go, hey, we're about to release this movie. We want you to listen to it just one time. And if anything sounds a little weird, let us know. Just let us know. We can, you know, we'll take it out.
I wouldn't have made this film if that had happened.
Well, oh, I mean, look, just run it by. There are homeless people that need. Just grab them off the street and go, I just need you to watch this. If anything outwardly just bothers you, just totally doesn't sound cool at all, let us know. And so that we can, oh, okay, I'll be happy to do that. It's probably right. The movie would have been made. At least try, people. At least try.
Oh, my God. I mean, it started because they, like, did the whole Star Trek. We're going to release the first 9 minutes online. So I watched it. It was like Guy Pearce getting punched for, like, 9 minutes and making one-liners and stuff like that. And then, like, smoking a cigarette and getting it punched out of his face. And it was just like, oh, this is going to be so terrible. I can't wait to see it. Mm. And then, man, it just got worse. I mean, it has some really good actors in it that you've seen different things
yes.
before.
Yes.
And I'm like, what is happening here? Like Maggie Grace, questionable you know, but everybody else was like, we've seen Guy Pearce, dude, you were just like in Prometheus 5 seconds ago. What's happening? What's happening here?
Yes.
And so I don't know.
And of course, you know, when you're looking at the people behind the film too, you know, it really you're really thinking, oh, wow, these people know what they're doing. You know, they've got a real, you know, a history of making solid films. So when you saw this coming, it was like it couldn't be as bad as it was, you know, looking. It was like these people have made films before. They know what's going on. They couldn't have done that. So, yeah, Luke, come on, man. Luc Besson, come on. You know, yeah. From the Fifth Element of this.
That's... But, you know, at least we didn't have this, I think, replaced the bad early winter Paul Bettany film that usually comes out every year, you know, because he always has a terrible sci-fi movie that comes out in like February, March, January, somewhere in there. So we didn't get Paul Bettany, but we got Guy Pearce, which, wow, man, that really puts a ding in your brand. Really does.
You know what I think was probably the most offensive thing of the whole film?
The end?
Well, yes, but not the end you're talking about. The end credits begin to roll.
Wait, you watched past the end credits?
I was in shock. I was paralyzed. My mouth was open. I was drooling a bit. I was like, In the end credits, you see a line that says, based on an original idea by Luc Besson. And then you think back over the entire film, and I challenge any of you to find one original. I think that line, because it was written on the screen. I believe it's actionable. We could probably sue to say, look, there was not one original idea in this film, and I want my money back. I think because it was on the screen. It had his name under there. So we can go. I think it's actionable. We can take him to court. Original. I challenge you, Your Honor. He'd be like, you're settled. I got nothing. Give him their money back. There was not one original. Fifth Element? Seriously? I mean, when you sit down and you watch that movie, none of that. Even now, people try to make stuff like we saw in Fifth Element, and they're just limping along and barely make it. Was there one thing in Lockout that we hadn't seen before? I mean, what was there one?
Let me think.
Seriously. I mean, because like you said,
no.
It felt, I mean, every element in the story, we had seen some piece of it before. It was just kind of thrown, cobbled together and bolted awkwardly like a Frankenstein bolt right in the neck. You know, it's just like severed parts of all the campy films we'd seen before. It was a Franken film, and not a good one. Not a good one.
Wow,
you know?
I didn't think it could be. I mean, I knew it was going to be terrible, but.
You see this film.
But, like, the end with the cheesy Maggie Grace and he gets the girl at the end, it was terrible. Oh, like, how did that even. What?
No, when they are, you know, thrown together in such a life-threatening situation.
Yeah, it was like Han Solo and Leia.
You know that they're but going to romantically worse. Find. But see, even when you see that kind of stuff happening in the film, the whole fun of it is, because you know how films go. The fun of it is to see the chemistry between the two actors and to see the story of how they come together. I mean, there's something charming, there's something fun where, you know, the gruffy guy eventually breaks down and does something really romantic, or, you know, the girl, you know, butches up and does something really smart and saves the guy, and he's like, hey, you are right. You know, something funny or interesting happens that brings them together. None of that happened in life. I mean, the whole time I was annoyed with the both of them on the ship, on the station, the whole time. Of course she didn't get in the life pod. I wanted her to get in that life pod so the movie would end. I was thinking, please, just get in the life pod. This is stop. No, it's, oh, I'm still here. Oh, the hair scene where he puts the slime in her hair and cuts it all off. And you can clearly see it is a wig pulled over. A cheap wig.
I forgot
it's moving. Moving around on her head for the whole second part. So now she's got this crazy, you know, pixie black hair sticking off in different directions. That just really added to the attractiveness of the character. It was just, they just kept messing with you every little step of the way.
It was terrible. But there's something even worse.
God, what? Oh, you mean a worse movie?
Yes. I didn't think that I could see anything worse than Lockout this year.
And I want to make it clear. I was very upset that Kat made me watch Lockout.
He said on Twitter, like publicly, that he did not like me.
Mm-mm, no. Because I had tried to avoid this film. Yeah, you made me watch. So what I did is, this man,
people. I mean,
I dug deep, people, because you got to understand. I understand. If it's to be on the turd list, it's got to move something in you. It's got to move bowels to qualify as a turd of 2000. So what I did is
No. Let me stop you right now. Mm-hmm. So I said Lockout is fun and games. It's not traumatic. You can watch it and then you can go to sleep at night.
Maybe you can.
I'm willing to bet that, like, if our listeners were to compare two movies.
Oh, yes.
The ones that we're about to talk about just now.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be more traumatic for them.
Well, that's because, you know, see, you were playing around. You made me mad. you unleashed the fury here. So I had to dig deep. You know, I said, all right.
Cruel.
Now, if I did not like Lockout, you know, she made me watch this. I got to find a film that's going to really make her feel the way I did. I gotta like twist it. I gotta get that whole just all up in there kind of film. Where she's gonna be like, I hate you. So I picked a film, folks. And not many of you have seen it, thankfully. Because you see, this really is the public service that we're performing here. So we are seeing films that you hopefully have not seen or shouldn't have seen, or if you have seen, need therapy to work through. And that's really what we're doing here. This is the therapy with outreach where there's help available. So I had to pick a film that was what I, in my opinion, was the worst film that I had seen in 2012. Now, it kind of transcends genres a bit. So, you know, it is not really.
There's something in there that makes it.
So, you know, I had to reach in there and I had to say, what film just disappointed me, upset me, moved me in a way that was very Metamucil-like, you know? I was just like, what film offended me and just annoyed me and to this day still just pokes at the back of my brain? What is it? And I said, God, I got a movie I would like you to check out.
He went to great lengths.
Yes,
to watch this
to make sure that she's the movie I'm talking about, friends, is called Branded. Here's the thing. In theory, this could be an interesting premise. In theory, this could have been a very thoughtful, powerful, independent, sci-fi sort of film. Here is the premise, or at least what it should have been. We're all seeing the impact of corporations and advertising on our society these days. They're getting a disproportionate effect on the populace, more than governments, more than politicians or anything like that. So the story is about an ad executive who, you know, at the top of his game, starts to look around and sees the impact that advertising is having on the populace. This dark group, this group of businessmen are using advertisement to control the populace of the world, of course, to get rich, to get them to buy their products and all that kind of stuff. But there is like a sinister edge to it. It's like there's something more. It's not just the advertising. Is it subliminal? Is it something? And so our ad executive, who, again, at the top of his game, was part of this world, tries to dig deep to find out what's going on, you know, is it, what it is. And it turns out that he begins to see the impact of the corporations on the people of the world as sort of like these disembodied beings, these sort of like brain-sucking things that are that are leeching off of the psyches and the spirit of the people of the world. And what's worse is it real, or is there like some sort of a being that is growing and becoming more and more powerful as a result of leeching these ideas? Now, okay, so new people who have not seen the movie, you might still be with us here. You might be going,
because like you're selling it right now.
This is what, this is how the movie was sold, was branded to all of us.
I hate you.
Before we saw the film. So we're going, and so, and then you see glimpses. Glimpses of the visuals of this film where you see, you know, people just walking down the street. And as they're walking down the street, you see these computer-generated, you know, beings.
Yeah.
You know, beings latching on to folks walking down the street. So you're starting to get these vibes like They Live, or, you know, all the sort of, you know, all these classic good sci-fi. So you're getting all of that and you're going, man, this movie is out there. I'm ready to check it out. You know, I want to see what this film has to offer, because, hey, you know, I believe that companies are more powerful than governments these days. I believe that advertising has a disproportionate impact on people. I remember old classic Max Headroom. Guess what? Jeffrey Tambor, he's even in this movie. Is it Murray from Max Headroom? So I'm like, all right, let's do this. I am ready to the mind expansion that is the movie branded. And then it begins.
Oh, my God.
The first thing about this movie. So I'm sorry, most of you folks have not seen this, and you ought to be glad. I'm just, we're just
don't do it.
Don't do it.
This is not like where you like watch it. Hee hee hee.
And it's funny.
No,
we are trying to save you all.
Like, watch Birdemic before you watch this.
Oh, that's bad. That is bad. If you hear Kat recommending Birdemic, people, you know we're serious. All right, we're serious. So the very first thing that bothers me tremendously about the film, the voiceover.
Oh, my God.
There is a woman who does the voiceover of this film.
It was Monster a Go-Go Bad voiceover.
I don't know what the idea is, because first of all, I'm never a fan of voiceovers anyway. They feel like sloppy, lazy filmmaking.
It worked in Fight Club.
Well, you were supposed to show and not tell in films. That's why we're not reading a book, all right? I want visually to be able to see. Now, never mind the fact, as Kat points out, that the first 8-10 minutes of the film is in Russian. Don't you worry about that, people. That is not.
So confused. I'm like, well, what? Are you sure this is? Because there's several movies called Branded, and this one's all in Russian, and it looks scarily like the beginning of when Magneto first found his powers.
The ad executive as a youth gets struck by lightning. And so we believe that magic moment is what allows him to see later in life. You see, that's what allows the quote stars to align.
That's what that meant.
And allows him to have this amazing ability to see these controlling beings in the world. That's what, you know.
I thought the power was his power to persuade.
Well, maybe you're right. That could be part of it.
Other thing that happens later, which we will discuss, was why he was able to see mother.
So, you know, so if you let go of the fact, and of course, you know, we're down with foreign languages. We are willing to watch a subtitle film. And, you know, we're trying to embrace.
Knit.
We are trying to embrace international, because, hey, you know, folks in other countries do make good sci-fi. We're not saying that. But we're watching. So we get through the Russian of the first, you know, 8-10 minutes, and then the voiceover kicks in. Now, the other thing is, you have to realize the voiceover's voice is this, she sounds like she's on some kind of drug, you know, like an anti-quaaludes or something, you know. So she, and the things that she's saying are so banal, and they're just a. And so he began to walk out of the office. We're watching him walk out of the office, right? He began to walk out of the office, and he wondered, I wonder. He says that. You're like, oh, my God, I cannot believe they're doing this in this film. I mean, this is how it begins, you know. And so she just keeps telling. Later in the film, he will realize that what he was born to do is not what he was meant to do. It's awful. So that's just a. Here's the other thing, and tell me if you notice this. The two lead characters in the film kind of eerily look like other celebrities.
I know, didn't one of them look like Jodie Foster?
No, it's Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt, oh,
Lindsay
right.
Sobieski is like a vet-grown Helen Hunt. All right, people, I cannot be the only one that sees this.
Yes,
and her mannerisms and the way she carried herself. It was freakish. So it's like
a clone. It was a clone.
And here's the other. And the guy. What was the guy's name? Oh man, we gotta look this up. But the guy in there, the weird thing. So he had that, you know, British accent or whatever that was going on. But he kind of looked like. He kind of looked like Owen Wilson, but with dark hair, right?
He kind of
like,
did.
He was like Owen Wilson with a Matt Smith haircut. You know, it was kinda,
so weird.
So I'm watching, and so that's bugging me the whole film. That it's like, is it Helen? Is it not? Is it who are these people? That part, we'll let that go. That's just, you know, one of the other little annoyances of the film, but the whole problem is it really did. Have the potential to be thoughtful and important and meaningful. I mean, there's this subplot where, of course, the advertising is starting to affect the people. And, you know, this dark room full of executives who we believe might be motivated by this dark force that's going on. You know, starts to say, hey, let's, you know, as an example of their ability to control the populace, they say, hey, you know, we've got to move more of our products, you know, more of our food products. And people are starting to really turn towards healthy food. And that's bad for us. You know, we've got to be able to continue to sell our junk food. So let's start a campaign that really shows that a girl who's very, you know, she's starting to put on weight, but the, putting on that weight can be attractive. Well, let's make that empowering. I mean, from an abstract standpoint, you could see how that element alone could be very powerful in terms of the story, in terms of telling. It's where, you know, they find this young girl and she, you know, she's kind of overweight and they cast her in this reality show. And they get the people that's the ad campaign. They're getting everybody all attached to her, and then what happens to her in the film? It again, it's significant, it's powerful. Where you're going, wow, you know, could ad agencies really have that much power over the populace? There's a story there that you can work with, that you could do some things with. But that's not. They just like drop that. Just, you know, 10 minutes into the film. I mean, into that storyline. 15 minutes into you're really engaged in that. Wow, that could be good. No. They move on to some crazy relationship between the two lead characters, and so it's just again they keep missing all these wonderful opportunities where they could have pulled it out. I mean, halfway through this film, I'm thinking, okay, they can still save it. If they just do this.
Really?
You know me. Hey,
wow, you were so positive, Carl.
Fan of heroes. All right. So I keep thinking, come on, they can still pull this out. And it just kept getting worse and worse.
See, Carl, you might be a little too educated to have seen this because you're not doing it right. You're not telling people what this turd is doing. Let me tell you people, this guy, movie opens, it's all in Russian. He gets struck down like he's Magneto with lightning. He's an ad exec. Yes, Carl said this before. What they don't tell you, he became unhappy. He thought he was hurting people. So he went into the desert or a farmhouse or something like that. And he started herding cows.
Well, see, but you have to remember, the reason he's herding cows is because it was like, he had been spoken to. He was all of a sudden, he was possessed by a higher power. He was like channeling some a pure spiritual thing that was going on. So he went out into the woods to live deliberately to try to figure out what this stuff meant.
Yeah. So this guy herded cattle, right? Like the people, right? And you brand cattle, right? Because branding cattle, with the stars aligned to some crap like that. Then the cow lost its spots because it was Holstein cows or whatever you want to call them, whatever. And they're black and they're white with black spots. So this one lost all of his spots, turned red. He axed up the goddamn cow.
Well, hang on. You got to remember, that's because it was a sacrifice. He had seen a voice or whatever had talked to him, and he realized that the only way he was going to really connect with what was truly going on was if he sacrificed a cow, people.
Now, yes! And then he made like this big Burning Man structure to burn the cow in. So he slaughtered it, put it in Burning Man, set the whole thing on fire, put the ashes in a bucket full of water, poured the bucket of ashes of dead cow. Oh, he poured the blood of the cow that he hacked open on him. Then he burned the cow. Then he put the ashes in the bucket and then put the ashes over his body wet, because he like mixed them up with water, whatever. And then he was cleansed. And then he like had a beard or whatever. And he fell out in the pasture. And like,
he was a truly spiritual man at that point. He had touched something beyond everything that you'd seen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason, Helen Hunt came and she found him and she took him back to Moscow or whatever they're wanting to call his city. And then like that's when we see the weird bubble aliens. Have y'all seen Doctor Who Turn Left when Donna had that little alien thing on her back and she didn't know it and only certain people could? It was just like that. So it was like
except. The computer graphics look like they had been made by a video toaster circa 1993.
Yes.
These computer graphics, it's folks,
so terrible,
were less than impressive.
So all that's right. What I'm saying. Your education prevents you from saying it looked like crap.
They were bad. And that was supposed to be like the climactic moment of the film, because you see, now he's like visualizing or he can see that the beings were connected to corporations. And so
not in the car at first, not because he was in the car. And Helen Hunt, I mean, he started talking to Helen Hunt and then she had like this red snake come out of her head or something. And he, it was so bad. It looked like, you said toaster, but yeah, it looked like Lightwave 2.0 when,
barely,
like prior to Babylon 5. When
thank you. That's exactly what it was like first season Babylon 5 before they could do anything organic.
Oh, it was so. And then like they're like shaped like weird clown faces, and then there's snakes, and then there's
possessed Pac-Man or critters. Remember critters? It was like flying critters.
And it's not even bizarre in a way, like, like when Tom Cruise does a crazy, wow, Brad Pitt does a crazy movie, it's like, oh, it's bizarre and it's weird and woo, it's brilliant. No. It had none of that. You couldn't even say, man, this is deep, just people can't get it. No. And it is this point, I think I text Carl and told him that I hated him.
I had to get you. All right. Granted, I may have gone overboard. I do feel kind of bad.
You've been overboard. I don't think I've done anything to you to deserve this at all. But then he came back and he had a kid and it was a tubby kid. And wasn't it, they were like, everybody was looking like WALL-E. So it had this WALL-E thing where they went to this and everybody.
The ad campaign was working and everybody was getting bigger because, they had been so touched by the story of the big girl who had the reality show. And now they're eating and the beings are leeching off of the folks and just getting fat off of them.
And then so the leech parts of it goes off and it goes up into a bubble above on a skyscraper, because it's like draping and hovering over the skyscraper.
But you know why it's on that skyscraper?
Because of the what?
because that was the corporate headquarters that it was attached to.
Right. And so we don't know if it's the corporations creating this, if it's an alien entity.
Well, see, that's the thing. See, the entities are either – so it's true. They never tell you what the heck is going on with – so multiple things can be going on. This could all be a hallucination in the mind of the young Adam. So he could just be seeing these things the way, you know, it's his perception of this impact. It could be some sort of a sinister metaphysical, you know, brain leech that is growing and taking and milking the human race.
I don't like you.
And were they connected with the company? Because the company, each being.
I don't want to speak to you ever again.
Come on, we gotta dig into this now. Each being was branded and connected to the corporation that they were attached to. So now, see, now that he's butchered the cow, right? He sacrificed the cow. He's using all of his amazing ad executive abilities. So now he's going to come back and he's going to create a new company. But this company is designed to defeat all of the bad ad companies that are out there. So he starts.
I literally cried in the middle of this movie. But it was like laughter and crying at the same time. And I couldn't stop. Yep. And I think it was the war between the good ad company, which was the Green Dragon, and the bad ad company. And the graphics were just so terrible that I cried and laughed at the same, like tears didn't come, but they wanted to because there was laughter at the same time. And then I like tweeted it. You can look at my tweets that Carl was evil. And
Kat, I got it. I know where I've seen the monsters before. The Langoliers, Stephen King, The Langoliers. Did you see the movie or
no?
But I
can see it because it has that clown type.
No, well, there were these supposed flying virus leech things in it. Anyway, never mind. But folks have seen it; they'll know. They're like, "Oh yeah, those terrible graphics," because it had the Stephen King quality graphics in Flyers.
This, I was super pumped up, like, because I finally got Carl to watch Lockout, and I was feeling pretty impressed with myself and pretty happy because, you know, I didn't think it was that terrible, and then he comes with Branded, and it's just like, it didn't even end at that, because then, you know, after the monster ad monsters start fighting each other and stuff like that, then somebody goes in and shoots up the company and he gets shot.
Oh, yes.
And at some point, people start revolting against ad companies. And so there's no more advertising in Moscow. And
where one of the main cities where this movie was set.
I think what was my text, because I might use that as the picture.
Was it a fracking dragon?
Because like why there was a dragon? This was terrible. And then so he got shot, and then the fat voluptuous lady who went into a coma, who all this started because she woke up after all this crap has happened, and she was skinny and a different person entirely, walking down the street like it was the ad campaign apocalypse or something.
Well, you remember because it was like, you know, it had been living off of her. That was, you know, it was getting its strength from her, and that's why she.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I must have missed that intricate part of this very complex film.
Yes, because you see, once he had slain the ad monsters that were out there, then she was free. See, it detached itself from her. And now she was free. And now she's all slim.
This was so heavy-handed. I don't know what.
Do you feel after watching this movie like maybe there's something growing out of the back of your neck? Do you feel like something is being pulled out of your brain as we speak right now?
I know something's growing out of you, and I'm gonna say it's bullshit. I can't understand why anything like this was made seriously, and how anybody could have allowed something. Something so terrible to exist.
This is how you know it is a true turd of the year. If it has got cat weeping, that people, what I say has got to move you, that's what I'm talking about. All right. Total Recall, nothing. You got nothing. This is how you roll with a turd right here. That's what you're talking about.
So terrible.
Yes. Yes.
So bad.
I saw this. And when I walked out of the theater, and I
saw it in the theater.
I saw it in the theater, people. Rage upon exit, cat. Do we need to go? Shall we begin now?
Yes, let's go. Because that's, we have criteria, and here's our list. One of them is fury upon exit, but we have yes, squandered indeed. Effects, yes, acting, question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Turdage per dollar, fury upon exit, and which sequel would offend the least.
Yes, yes. So we're going to talk about our two films now. Lockout and Branded.
These are the turds. These are the contenders for the Golden Turd Award.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yes. Squandered effects. Would you like to start with that?
Wow.
100 effects. I mean, we couldn't help but describe the realism of the beings in Branded. What would you
We had an issue last year with squandered effects, and we needed to know how much money, what was the budget, and what was the gross in order to determine who squandered the most effects. So if they had the bigger budget and the effects sucked, then they squandered the effects. Is this?
Yeah. Okay. But see, all right. We have typically profiled a big money film and then a small money film, and we kind of put those together. So I guess if we're going to do that and we're going to work that way, I guess Lockout qualifies as our blockbuster. I'm sorry. That's even hard to say. I'm sorry. that hurt me to say. I gotta admit, I take it off. Yeah. So if we consider that Lockout is the blockbuster of the year, and then we want to call Branded the indie film, then the amount of money spent on the effects versus their impact in the film is what we call, you know, squandered effects. Is kind of where we're going. So, how would you like to start?
Let me, because I'm going to Box Office Mojo. Branded had it.
I just went there too. You looking at the domestic total, I think you and I saw Branded. That's it. It was just us, and clearly we could see because we beat. Did we beat $353,000 is the domestic total.
Wow, and the foreign was $3 million.
Okay, so how much did it cost to make this film? How much was this?
Domestic total.
This
again, foreign.
Maybe they're afraid to say.
Release production budget non applicable.
I bet.
So Lockout made a 14 million domestic and 14 million foreign. So it is the blockbuster of the two, and it had a 20 million budget. So
wow,
yeah. So if we can we Google Branded? Let me see. Branded production budget. I know, guys. Great radio. Let me just we.
But you typed so lively.
It's action typing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing. I don't see anything
on Branded
Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On Branded on how much this thing costs. I really.
Well, you know, they did have to buy at least one or two video toasters. So, you know, that's, you fire those suckers up after all these years. It's probably, that's a good 50K right there. Out of 353,000.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie make that little.
Mm. That is just, that's pretty scary. But okay, well, let's just back up and think about
it. Oh, wait. Oh, no. I was looking at something else. Wait, give me one more second. Let's see. Oh my God. Somebody said that they were switching between like widescreen to 4.3 format in this, in Branded. It was so terrible that, and they called it inexplicable nonsense.
That's, I'd go with that.
They were being very nice.
Generous. Yes, they were. Yes,
very they were. Nice. Mm-hmm. And they said there was no kicking ass and no bubblegum chewing. And
yeah,
so,
of course.
Okay, so we don't have a budget for Branded, but we can, you know, kind of guess that it didn't make it.
No. No, no.
So I would say if we want to go total math, mm-hmm. that the squandered effects goes to Lockout.
Yeah. Yeah, because with all of the giant sets and the spaceships and the explosions, and then not to even bother with the script, that is really squandering.
And, like, once they got inside the prison, we didn't really get any more science fiction-y type stuff. I mean, they could have did this on Earth.
Yeah, uh-huh, right.
We need space.
Yeah, yep.
For this this film. So, I wanted to add two categories to this, which is squandered franchise and squandered premise. But that was when I was going to include Total Recall, squandered franchise.
Yeah.
Because we really don't want to see Lockout or a Branded franchise.
Well, we do have which sequel would offend the least. So we are going to have to answer that question.
But that's not under squandered effects. So,
okay, now I'm just
so we're doing squandered premise.
Mm-hmm.
Who squandered the premise the most, Lockout or Branded? And I personally say Branded.
Okay. And why you say it?
I say Branded because it had the potential to be a They Live remake.
You
and
got it.
And They Live is so much fun.
Yep.
And it was utter garbage.
You got it. Because, you know, Lockout, squandered premise implies you had to have a premise. Okay, so Lockout, again, since we'd seen it so many times before, you know, the supposed bubblegum popcorn, you know, film that this is supposed to be, when it disappointed, it did not dramatically disappoint because, well, we had just seen it all before. It didn't disappoint in a new way. I'll put it that way. They Live was great for a lot of reasons and not just, you know, okay. Yeah, it was great for a lot of reasons, but including it really made you think, you know, it pulled out some things and made you go, wow, you know, this is subliminal messaging. What's that got to do? What's happening with society? Is that, it made you engage some critical thinking skills, which, you know, on the surface, Branded was supposed to have done.
Man.
But man, did they blow it.
They packed up the cow, I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
Like, I knew I was in trouble from the beginning because it was just so lame. But when it did that, I was like, what's going to happen in this film?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Yeah, because, again, you kind of like for films to kind of somehow retain a genre, you know, and you're thinking, well, is it science fiction? Is it psychological thriller? Is it? And then when they went to the voodoo animal sacrifice, you're like, hold it. You know,
thinking Wicker Man. I was like, what is?
You have no idea what is going on in that program.
Oh my God. And then the whole ad agency monster representative fight battle. Oh my
I've never
felt so much pain in my. It was not like that. It was constipation, is what I felt.
There you go. Perfect for Turdage. That's what we're talking about. And so, you know, you still have to ask the question, even after you've seen the movie, because there is the lingering question: is this real, or was this some, you know, manifestation of his perception? But remember, there was the evil boss guy, right? The evil boss guy who was coordinating all of the different ad campaigns. Was he really, you know, like connected to the dark side of these blob beings, or was it just, you know, the perception of that? We can't tell. We can't. Who knows?
That dude needed some antipsychotics.
He was rough.
And this film was total crazy town. So let's go to our next category, which is acting, question mark.
Acting? Acting? You have to do it with the hand in the air. And we know which one that goes
Wait.
Go ahead, what?
Because there was some terrible acting in both of these films.
Yes, but not consistent. I mean, it was just, I will give you, yes, the acting was subpar, but one of these was ridiculous.
I'm sorry, because both of these were kind of ridiculous with the acting.
All right, go ahead.
We had actors of a high caliber doing some butt ugly stuff, and then we had some people we don't know who looked like actors that we know and love who was doing some pretty questionable method non-acting there. So it's a hard choice for me.
Here's something even more fabulous that's about our two choices this year. Since they are both foreign made films, it like averages out the oddness of that. You know, was it a real dial? Was it real American accent? Were they just trying to? Doesn't matter, because both of these films have that odd kind of pseudo language thing going on. So yeah, so we even canceled that out. It's normalized, people. That means we can actually compare them one to one this year. So,
you have your mind made up. How do you say?
How do I say? It is because, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I just say, because the acting in Lockout is so bad. It's so bad. And the actors knew better. All right. These people in this film knew better. The acting is so bad combined with the bad dialogue. It's like a double whammy. I got to give it to Lockout. I'm sorry. I got to give it. Brandon was odd. Brandon was odd, heavy-handed, and inconsistent. But it wasn't just outright bad the whole time. The acting was not bad.
That Helen Hunt was terrible. Yeah. She was painful to watch. And I just like she was doing something uneven with her
voice. She was
doing
that, like that Kristen Stewart kind of thing, where she was kind of, bland the whole way through. But still, no. Nobody's mouth was bigger than their trousers. And I've got to give it to Lockout.
Let me think. Let's see. Main guy to main guy hated Brandon more. Main chick to main chick, Brandon versus Lockout. Maggie Grace, man, she.
Yeah,
it
was hard.
But then Helen Hunt, Helen Hunt.
Yeah, so...
She was terrible. But then these people do know better.
They know better.
They know better in Lockout. Like,
they're actual actors.
Yeah, and then these other people.
They were just
trying.
They
had some actual actors. They were like that one guy we knew.
Jeffrey Tambor, poor guy.
Damn. Well, I guess acting does go to Lockout. Yeah, it's got to go to Lockout. Because these people... I don't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it should be a subcategory directing ? Which would totally go to Brandon. Turdage per dollar. Lockout.
Yeah, because you got to think they spent a whole lot more on that.
They paid more too.
Yeah, but...
Because, you can buy a car for what Brandon made and
yes,
or our house or something like
yes that. That's right. That's right
That's pretty sad. Yikes.
Yep.
Yeah. Fury upon exit.
Cat. I'll leave this one to you, my dear.
Branded hands down.
Wasn't it rough
that if I starred breaking down into tear laughter stuff, then that's, I felt crazy, like I needed to be in a straitjacket watching this film, and I don't like that feeling at all, because I don't do that, and so...
Now, worldwide, I'm looking at it again, now worldwide, Brandon pulled down 3.7 million. But still.
Well, not as much as Lockout, which was it 14 or something like that?
Yeah, but still, since we don't know what the production budget was for Brandon still likely made money. So again, we find ourselves in the Skyline Conundrum.
That's the official name.
Yes, where even though it made $8 in the theater, it cost $2 to make. And please, no one. Well, except
no,
Eric.
No. This is This is total emotion based. You can't base this on numbers. This is totally about you, Fury upon exit.
All right. Yes, you're right. We're just sticking with it. Fury upon exit, no doubt. No doubt, Brandon. No doubt.
Because you said rage upon.
Yes, right. Yes, it's
my
it's,
God, this thing, like, you know how we felt about Birdemic last year. I did, because Carl still refuses to
refused. Watch. Refused! I refused to watch that film.
Yeah, it's one day I'm going to get him. Mm. I'm going to get him, but I'm afraid now, because he has returned fire like none other. The skirmish there was a bit hardcore between him and I this year. So, you know.
It's on for next year, girl.
Bring it. Because you ain't right. You ain't right. Okay, so which sequel would offend the least?
Wow. That's hard.
Go ahead with yours.
First of all, because how can you even imagine a sequel to Lockout? I mean, not that I'm not saying it would be physically impossible,
but
I'm
like, just how saying, could you imagine a sequel to Taken? It happened.
Oh God. Well, anyway,
I would not see a branded sequel, no matter what. I don't care what you say, Carl. I don't care if that's the last movie on the planet. I don't care. I will never watch anything branded ever again in life. I would watch a Lockout, but not branded. That was painful. Scarred for life.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. I can't even put up a fight. I cannot play the devil's advocate. You're really right.
Okay. So, I don't know. Because some of these are emotion-based and some of these are financially based. And I feel stronger about Brandon being the bigger term, but according to our calculation, Lockout wins.
Well, yeah, I guess if you go from a category by category basis, but look, the whole fun of the turd is it's something you feel. I mean, that's in there. And you are moved in your bowels by a film. And whatever.
That's the new category, moved in your bowels, but that's Fury upon exit.
Yeah. That's twisted. Because, you know, whatever you feel about Lockout, and it was generic, and it was, you know, hackneyed, and we'd seen it, and but branded.
Man, you sit there and you like put your hand over your mouth and you start shaking your head like it is a literal train wreck. It's the train wreck that everybody talks about that they watch, but this is it.
It's a new
this
kind of hell.
A special type of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the lowest level or highest level of hell? That's it. That's branded. I have never seen something so terrible. It was reminding me, what was the movie, M. Night movie, where the one where the trees were upset?
Oh, yes. The Crappening.
Yes, The Crappening. Uh-huh. I felt angrier at Branded than I did The Crappening, because I felt pretty angry when I watched The Happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I was just like, M. Night, you know, we've trusted him before. How bad could this be?
You keep asking that question. Don't do that.
Yeah. So I say the emotional winner is Branded, but the actual winner is Lockout.
Oh, it's hard to say actual. I'm telling you, the bowels win. Branded.
Branded is going to be declared. So if this was Electoral College, then Branded wins.
There you go. I will redistrict for Branded. That is it. I am gerrymandering. Branded gets it.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the poster where he's standing on a building holding an axe and a gun?
Yes, a gun. Because this is an action film.
I can't believe he sacrificed the red calf to cleanse himself of the evils of marketing and advertising.
Frankly, I'm thinking maybe I could use a calf to sacrifice after this film. I'm thinking that might help at this
point. Then we didn't talk about how, like, the stars arranged into the shape of a cow to talk to him.
After the lightning hit, that was in the beginning. So you see, the cow comes back. It's a running theme throughout the movie.
The stars arranged to make a 3D version of a cow to talk to the, because wasn't it narrating? Wasn't that the narrator, the cow?
Oh, God, yes. I forgot the cow talked. Oh, no.
This movie was terrible.
Oh, people, y'all ain't ready. We need to
recommend this to Riff Tracks because they got to do something.
Oh, yes.
They
that would go.
Something.
That would
this
be
is well. Just this is the new Birdemic, man. This is terrible.
Harsh.
I mean, wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Turd winner of 2012, Branded.
Be happy you haven't seen it. Be happy you haven't seen it. Plain and simple.
No. I won't even say, like, you know how I was like, yeah, you gotta see Bird. I'm not even gonna make Stephanie watch this.
Mm-mm. No.
Cause like she's starting to trust me a little bit more. And so I want to keep that going because this would totally, like, I don't think she'd call me ever again.
No.
Yeah, no. The only reason I'm talking to you still is because of Lockout. And I'm not going to say I deserve this much abuse from you. I can understand where it came from.
I was mad.
So, you know, as long as it don't happen again.
Mm-hmm. Look. 2013, Lucky 13. Who knows what's coming? Who knows what's coming down the track, my dear?
Oh my God, I look so forward to these. This is so awesome. Okay, so Carl.
Yes.
We've talked a lot of negativity. What were our favorites this year? We won't go into in-depth discussion, but like if you had to pick a few favorites or, you know,
cleanse
something.
The palate. We're going to cleanse the palate after.
Let's cleanse the palate. Let's drink a little milk, you know. Well, yeah. Unless we're lactose intolerant, then that's going to bring the bowels again. But we're not going to talk about that. But
oh man, for me, I guess it's easy. I'm gonna pick the easy two, and then I'm gonna really think about it to see if there was maybe a surprise in there someplace. But for me, the easy two winners of this year, Dark Knight and Avengers.
Okay.
Those are my two favorite movies of this year. It's simple, it's predictable, but I gotta say they really hit it out of the park. They nailed it with scale. The bad guys were decent. The guy bonding, the fun. These movies were really, really fun and used the scale of the theater and blockbuster to really deliver on what I wanted to see from a great film. So, yes, I will, you know, cheapen out and just pick the two easy winners and say they were my favorites of the year.
Okay, that's good. Those are solid choices. If we're going with two, I'm going to go with you again on The Avengers, but I'm going to go kind of small scale with my second favorite being Cabin in the Woods.
Not bad. You know, you and I never really got a chance to talk about that. I did finally see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. It was good. It was unexpected and fun. But yeah, I just I thought it was good.
Well, yeah, it reminded me of like things I was missing from like Buffy and Angel, Joss Whedon stuff. So I was really pumped up about that.
Mm-hmm.
If we were only picking two, my second favorite was going to be John Carter because it was so endearing and so cute and underrated to me. I really enjoyed it.
It was underrated. Mm-hmm. I think folks gave it a really hard time because you know, the ad campaign, you know, it was branded for it. It was branded for it. You know, if the Avengers had a giant dragon leech coming out of the back of my neck, then I would say, you know, they probably pulled out like a baby tick. There was this little tick. It was John Carter tick is what happened. I enjoyed it. I agree. It was fun to watch. It was pretty.
It's very, very
I really wanted to see a sequel. I really, really did. Because, you know, there were some things that they could have done better. And I was hoping that we would get another chance to go back to that world, to, you know, kind of flesh some things out.
Maybe not, because it just, like, people got fired over that movie.
I know,
and I just,
yeah.
It just was poorly handled, and I don't really understand why. I think, you know, in those movies as well is Spider-Man. Spider-Man was decent.
I thought it was okay, but I'm still not a huge fan of Spider-Man for the you know, reasons again. It's a remake of the remake. It was so fresh off of the heels of the other one that I wanted to see something new. And again, it really felt like they managed to cram the first three Spider-Man movies into this one, which, you know... There were some really, you know, tender moments in the original, well, in the Raimi Spider-Man movies that I liked, that I thought were powerful and I thought were fun. I like that, you know, the stories of how the hero comes to be the hero and all of that. And it felt so rushed and so flashy and like strobe lighty that the effects were better. Costume was cool. It was, you know, it was prettily done. It was very crisp. But the villain was not as rich to me. Man, you know, Doc Ock was great. And the Goblin, you know, was really, Green Goblin and Son were well done in the Raimi films. I really liked those.
Wasn't that Franco?
Yeah, Ian Franco, I'm telling you. You know,
I don't know. I like him better as a Spider-Man, the new guy, as opposed to, like, I like Maguire. He was fine. But seeing those two compared to each other, I like the new guy more. He just feels right.
If I had seen this as the only Spider-Man,
I get it. Yeah, it's just too soon. It's too soon.
But still, you know, they just didn't give us enough in this film. I mean, in the new Spider-Man, for me to believe that, you know, it was time to remake it. I know financially why, and from a business standpoint why, all that makes sense. But I really was hoping to see something different, and it just really wasn't. I mean, even the villain wasn't particularly. It just was not, you know, Lizard Guy trying to infect the populace.
It just really wasn't
very interesting.
I totally agree. I want to make an honorable mention before we wrap up the 2012 movies, and that was, I really enjoyed Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Me too. Me too. I know, man. That, you threw a horse at a guy. You don't see that in the film.
I just, such a silly concept of something so serious. And I just enjoy that aspect, because I just love when somebody takes something serious and just kind of throw jokes on it. And
it was well done. I'm telling you, that film was, and I'm still waiting for, you know, White Harriet Tubman to give me a call. She was, you know, come on, baby. Come on. Give me a call. She was hot.
Oh, God, that's crazy. And, you know, I still don't hate, what was it, Battleship as much as everybody else.
Me either. Yeah, people were hard on Battleship. Now, see, Battleship had the popcorn fun of what people were claiming Lockout should have been. You know, really, Battleship,
no one was claiming Lockout was supposed to be.
Well, I think Luc Besson. It'll be fun.
But
there was not a whole lot of big expectations from me for this, which is why I'm surprised that it rated as such a high turn on our list. You know,
That's because people have not seen Lockout and Branded.
Look, you're right.
And Branded.
The bar is set to a new depth.
If you do decide, just be drunk so you can black out by the time.
No, we warned you now. You've been warned. Oh, so yeah. Don't be calling us saying, y'all, with your drunken state, mind you. And you told me to watch this. No, we told you don't do it. We're trying to help.
And so, guys, that is 2012. I think we had a good run, yeah.
To break out, you and I will toast with Kale with Peck Date. Yes.
Awesome, Imodium D.
That's right. Help.
So guys, if you have any comments, we have a website that you can leave those comments on, and that's Sci-Fi Party Line. We're on Twitter at Sci-Fi Party Line. Eric answers those. So if you have something to say to us directly, either use that or use at Fancy Finbot, and for Carl at Robo Minister. We're on Facebook and Google+. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next year. Bye.
We're really sorry.
End of line.